good afternoon to you, Namibia and beyond. You are currently tuned into Eagle FM and this is On The Radar. I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, bringing you not just the news, but the narrative behind the headlines. Now here on The Radar, we go beyond the bullet points. We slow it down, zoom in and examine the heartbeat of the nation. From the chambers of parliament to the dusty roads of our forgotten regions, we give stories the space they need and the analysis they deserve. Now, this show isn't just about what's happening. It's about why it is happening, who's making the calls, and how it affects you and I. Our conversations are deep dives backed by archived reports, real voices, and context that doesn't expire with a new cycle. Now, whether you're driving through Katutura, sitting in Swakopmund, or listening from the diaspora, On The Radar is where crucial conversations unfold. Stream us live via our Eagle FM website. Follow us on our digital platforms such as Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, LinkedIn or Instagram, and plug in into our WhatsApp channel for behind the scenes context and exclusive updates. And not to forget our Eagle FM app available on App Store or Play Store. This is On The Radar, where Namibia comes to think, analyze and interrogate. Now, of course, I'm joined in studio by our very own insider Eagle FM's political analyst, that is France Sinengela. Good afternoon, France, and welcome to On The Radar.
Yes, good afternoon.
Now, as we had, were listening, of course, Eagle FM was live streaming just now before On The Radar started, how the president of Namibia, Her Excellency President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, addressing public servants at the Namibia Institute of Public Administration and Management right in the capital city of Namibia. Now, Sinengela, what does the president overall address, or even the fact that she stood up to go and address public servants, say to you?
All right, so the most profound statement that, or sentence that she keeps talking about, mm-hmm. is not business as usual.
Yeah.
Because the public service has been sluggish for quite a number of years, with embarrassing. Embarrassingly dilapidating, government and state infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
under the watch of, officials with, who are sitting on, mandates to develop and make sure that government infrastructures are intact, mm-hmm. with, the growing reality, and also saving an immediate citizen.
Yeah.
So the no business as usual, that's most one of the profound statements, not to me, but to those who that are seated there, because it directly affects them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it, if you know how to read between the lines, the no business as usual means if you are not performing, then you are out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because non-performance and non-effectiveness, or the inefficiency in terms of performance and service delivery will be treated as a plague by the president.
Mm-hmm.
And she would have the capacity to respond in every nature possible to avoid the further, the growth of the non-efficiency and prevent it from becoming a pandemic, which it is, as far as, public service delivery is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Now, the president called for a renewed commitment to ethical and people-centered public service within here in Namibia. And that's why we call it public servants. But a lot of them actually are sitting on the tables and not really serving the people. How do you think, of course, addressing the public servants is one thing, but how do you think we can actually go on ground and get the public servants to serve the people the way they are supposed to do it?
The non-efficiency and non-effectiveness and non-performance will not just be an embarrassment to the president. It will be an embarrassment to that particular official who is responsible to make sure that all government projects and plans are put into practical action.
Mm-hmm.
So, it is very important for those that they have attended, if they put it in whatever the president say, if they put that in their medulla oblongata, so of course there will be change. But the other thing is that you will have officials who will listen with one ear, and I mean the words will enter in another ear and pass through the other ear. So that mentality will still prevail, because these are people that are not politically elected by the citizens, like the president and parliament.
Yeah.
These are people that came from universities and tertiary institutions. They might not have the same instinct as the president has. So there is a long way to go in terms of how you fine tune the rhythm from the president and the rhythm from a public servant who is in a government office.
Yeah.
Because they might not be in the same, you know, in the same tune. In music, we call it
tune.
Mm-hmm. When you are about to play music, you first have to tune your guitar so that your guitar and your keyboard are aligned. They have the same tune. But that's a long way to go, it seems, from the behavior that we see from, that is coming out of many, you know, public servants.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's obviously noteworthy to see that an institution or a country's economy can only be as effective or can be measured through the way it delivers to its public, how it delivers to the public through public service. And this was actually mentioned by Somadode Fikeni, who is the chairperson of the Public Service Commission, considering that, you know, this past week, the beginning of this week, SADC is in Namibia talking about public servants and these are countries coming together. Now, of course, I take it that the president used this opportunity also to address the public servant. But you know what, Senengela, how exactly, of course, it's one thing when we talk about public service delivery, but when we're coming to reality of what's on ground, we have hospitals that, yes, of course, when you go in, just the other day, I had to be at the hospital with my daughter in a public hospital for that matter. And I should tell you that I was never comfortable to bath in those facilities. I would go home, but that's because I have the convenience of being able to just drive from Katutra Hospital back to my house. What about those who are so far away? And another reality that I did observe, Senengela, is the fact that we still have people that are being transferred from Katutra, from places such as Katima Murilo, places such as Mariental, places so far. They are coming to Katutra Hospital, which is Namibia's referral hospital, to come and receive the treatment. Why can't we invest in buying the infrastructure and address our people at the places where they are? And of course, I understand and I appreciate how the president is coming out, but isn't it more of those who are also in power to be able to make those decisions and be able to serve the people better? Senengela, what do you say?
Yeah, you look, we have been in for unprecedented embarrassment. As far as, you know, public service delivery is concerned.
Yeah.
On many fronts. It's not only it's not only the health, you know, sector, but on multiple fronts for many years, we have been under, you know, very significant, very profound, and very tangible embarrassment.
Yeah.
Just because of the way public servants view their jobs. They don't look at it as, you know, as a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have watched a lot of, you know, movies to the point that we are no longer in tune with the reality on the ground.
Yeah.
Because when a public servant views his job as a right, and not a responsibility, you are likely to go through under such embarrassment, like what you are saying.
Yeah.
And in fact, the most embarrassing, factor or the most embarrassing news today was the fact that the Windhoek Central Hospital, which is the so-called mother board of, you know, public health, has been without hot water for 15 years. That gives you that, you see, the entire Pohamba, rain and entire, you know, Gengob rain. That is 15 years.
Exactly.
So, which will, you know, which means that is not just a shock. It's an embarrassment of, if it is not, you know, international, I will call it an intercontinental embarrassment. Because Windhoek Central Hospital is where people from Katima are referred to, which is said, it must be displayed and viewed as a very better, you know, facility.
Yes, compared to where they are coming from.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are coming from Katima. You are bathing cold water there, maybe maybe Katima is even worse. So you are coming from a worse condition into another worse condition. So it's like you are going into something dead, you come out more dead.
Yeah.
So that is as a result of public servants, whether they are major officials or minor officials, who are looking at their position as a right and not as a responsibility. Because with that culminates into deliberate, you know, negligence.
Yes. And I do appreciate that. And of course, Nengela, let's call a spade a spade. Of course, we do appreciate a part of what our former presidents have done for us. And not just the presidents, but what about those who are close to the president, the advisors, those that are working with the president, the ministers, the deputy ministers. And look at President Hage Geingob's ministers, cabinet, so massive, huge number of people, but then we still have such things. And I do appreciate how President is making it very public on what is happening. And I think yesterday, right here on the radar, a caller actually came through to talk about some of the things that are happening with the current case that is happening. Of course, where there is no auditor, where there is no somebody who has been put to hold those who are in public office accountable, where there is no transparency, where there is no accountability to show the public on what is being done. So public servants will be reluctant to do their job.
Now, look, I think it's a mentality. Okay. And the mentality in the public sector is embarrassing, to say the least, without being emotional.
Indeed.
So now, just look at what Minister Sankwas has been doing of going to Katima Town Council, for example. I will use the Katima Mlilo Town Council because it's the most embarrassing town council, for at least for now, because of what has been coming out.
Yeah.
Now, going there and addressing the loopholes and the, you know, the semi-corrupt, you know, activities that the town council is engaged in, just for the mayor to come out and say the minister is tribalist, for example.
Yeah,
because this is commonly known, especially in Zambezi, you know, and whenever there is a confrontation, whenever an official is confronted for lack of, you know, efficiency in service delivery, they always run to tribalism. So, and that's already the sign that, you know, officials in the public sector are not ready for change. And that to me is a deliberate act. So when you are not ready for change, you will become confrontational, and you will find any other reason, you know, to use it as a defensive mechanism.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Let's talk about the mayor of Omuthia. Is it the mayor or councillor of Omuthia?
Is what was the mayor?
Who is holding a job in Omuthia and actually down here in the capital city? What actually makes those in power lag behind removing such people? Look at Cyril Ramaphosa.
Warm up with Red Hot Deals at WB. Get 750 gram CNB mayo for only $37.99 with SmartBuy. 2 times 1.5 kg real good mixed chicken for $139.99 with SmartBuy. 5 kg Palana elbows or Mac for just $122.99. And 2.2 kg Surf hand wash powder for only $49.99. See all our July month end specials at www.vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Okay, and pardon me for that. Unfortunately, my screen was covered with so many things. But let's get right into it. I'm joined by Francine Ngela. So yes, I was on to a point to see, the mayor of Omuthia who's holding a job down here in the city and leaving the people that, what does that say about public service delivery? How do you, and that is contravening the act of what a mayor should actually do. And in comparison, also talking about those who are in power, what is it that actually holds them back from making a decision that then will be then put into effect, such as how President Cyril Ramaphosa put the Minister of Police on absentee leave instead of just firing him or doing something about it? What do we say about that, Senegal?
You see, we create a syndicate. There is always a syndicate that is created in public sector. It's just a clique, wherever you go. And those types of cliques are the ones that are derailing, you know, the process of service delivery to people.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about service delivery, that's where our, you know, our bread and butter falls and rises.
Yeah.
So now, if you have a scratch my back so I can scratch yours mentality,
mm-hmm.
you will be sluggish in holding anyone accountable.
Yeah.
You will only hold those ones accountable, the people that you don't, you know, that you don't go along well with.
That are not scratching
your back. Mm-hmm. That, you know, somebody like a cleaner that you will not depend on him for the next promotion. You'll bombard them because you have nothing to lose. So that's a mentality. And you see the minister came and saying the mayor must pay the money, mm-hmm. must pay back the money that he used to get. He used to get S&T while he's in Windhoek.
Mm-hmm. But he is rather retaliating.
Yeah, I mean, there will be a retaliation because people in the public sector are in the jobs because they have rights to be employed. They are not employed because they have a responsibility.
And they have to serve the people.
They are there because they have a right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why if you are in a job because you have a right to be in a job, your performance will not be there.
Mm-hmm.
You will be a salary collector, and that is a mentality in the public sector, and it is embarrassing.
Indeed. And also, let's also talk about how we promote those who are supposed to be demoted. I mean, you have somebody painting, a court case is pending against them. You look at their work and their work is sluggish. And then boom, you hear that they've been promoted. But I do appreciate how President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah has made it very clear from the beginning that it's not business as usual. Senegala, with how the president addressed public servants today, what does this tone of the president say to you about the future of her leadership with the still with the years ahead of us?
Look, it is yet to be seen.
Okay.
It is yet to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because the respondent is not me as a political analyst.
Yeah.
I'm not part of the public sector.
Yeah.
So my perspective will not really matter.
Mm-hmm.
What matters is the response of the people to whom this message was directed in the first place.
Yeah.
And that response must be practically seen. It must be tangible enough that the public will then know that it is because of what the president says that we are seeing Katima Hospital improving.
Mm-hmm.
Or it is because of what the president says that we are seeing Home Affairs in Enana not tossing at to and fro, mm-hmm. with unnecessary you know, requirements. That's because somebody's lazy from to do their work.
Yeah.
So this has nothing to do with me. This has to do with the people to whom this message is concerned,
mm-hmm.
and they're the ones that should respond. and their response must be tangible and practically seen, mm-hmm. so that the person in Okuliangaba and can know that the president on the 18th of July mm-hmm. said this, mm-hmm. and today, the 19th of October, we have seen the result of what the president said, because service is being delivered to us efficiently.
Exactly. Now, our studio line is very much open. Should you want to join us and be part of the conversation, 083-288-401 is the number in studio. And I say that again slowly, 083-288-401 is the number in studio. Please come through. Air opinions and contributions while Franz Senengela is also still in studio with me. With that being said, let's just pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace as we await your call.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Ipura nengelo wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashia gengeshefa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijabo ili nawa. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu. Heali bali no heali ile konderewa. Nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM. The eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. You are still tuned into On the Radar Analysis right here on Eagle FM. And lastly, Franz Senengela, SADC chairperson of Public Service Commission of Zimbabwe, said that most times Africa has failed because talks are not centered on public service delivery, which is the engine of the country. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I think people need to be born again.
Okay.
That will need somebody to be politically born again,
mm-hmm.
to understand, to be transformed in the renewing of their minds.
Yeah.
So that they understand that, you see, when you are on a reception, in an office of the government, the person that comes there to ask, to inquire about, that person is your customer, is your client. You need to respect them and treat them well. You see, somebody can travel from Olungu to Enana, and this person will keep on sending them to go and collect this or that documents without further without just breaking down the information of what is really required. And the embarrassing part of, government offices is that what is said to be the requirement in this office,
yeah,
will differ from that office again. So you keep making documents after documents that in most cases are not even relevant. Just because somebody somewhere there is lazy to do their job.
Mm.
So it will take a long way for, people in the public sector to understand that they are not there. They are not there because it's a right to be employed.
Yeah.
They are there because they have a responsibility to serve the masses.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what need to be preached into every person that works in a government, fraternity.
Indeed. I do myself appreciate how the president addressed the public servants, and I sure hope that we take the message not only to the public servants but to the private sectors as well. Ourselves have the responsibility to serve the people and to do that in the best capability that we can and not be sluggish at it. Now, with that being said, let's pause right here. We bring you yet another insightful conversation right after the commercial break. You are listening to On The Radar News Analysis. 0832888401 is the number in studio.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Ipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitida mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora itatu imwe bali hea di nola natu hea di bali no hea ileko derewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. You are tuned into On The Radar News Analysis. We are keeping you company from, of course, since the time we've been here up until 14:30. Now, a new report by the International Monetary Fund, also known as IMF, has cast a harsh spotlight. Has cast a harsh spotlight on the structural weakness in Namibia's labor market, especially as they affect the country's youth, which is titled Namibia Labor Market and Resource Dependency. Now, the report reveals that despite growing national wealth from oil, gas, and green hydrogen investments, thousands of Namibian youth remain trapped in low-paying, low-productivity service jobs with little chance of formal employment or social mobility. Now, according to the report, between 2012 and 2018, Namibia witnessed a significant employment shift from agriculture, once the backbone of the rural economy, toward the service sector. However, this transition has not brought economic transformation. The majority of new service jobs are informal, insecure, and poorly paid, leaving young people, many with secondary or even tertiary education, locked into precarious livelihoods. Now, the IMF identifies a widening disconnect between economic growth and inclusive development. While the country's GDP is projected to grow due to new resource investments, real GDP per capita has stagnated and youth unemployment remains below 47%, among the highest in the region. Now, the situation is partially dire in rural and peri-urban communities, where opportunity gaps and weak job networks compound the crisis. Now, we will be engaging Sean Jordan Uiseb for deeper insights into this report and what it signals for Namibia's youth, labor future, and economic inclusivity. Sean Jordan Uiseb, good afternoon and welcome to On The Radar.
Hi, Happy, and thank you so much for having me.
Sure. Now, Sean, in your report, you do mention a labor shift from agriculture to services. Can you please perhaps unpack why this structural transformation hasn't actually translated into economic growth or job quality for Namibians?
Well, you see, the idea behind this was apparent. Services in Namibia has been... service sector jobs has increased.
Mm-hmm.
The nature of this jobs, of these jobs, are often informal and low paying. So the idea behind that is looking at the fact that low mobility.
Sean, go ahead.
When you can't really think of career advancements, and you can't really project career advancements for the youth in these jobs. And, right.
Sean, you're cutting a bit.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you clearly now.
Okay. So let me just start over again.
Okay.
Okay. So the shift from culture to the service industry, right, in Namibia was economy, but the transformation has largely occurred without the corresponding increase in productivity or job quality. So like in agricultural jobs with mobility, where a higher job security and better paying jobs in those sectors, whereas in the service sector there isn't the same quality of jobs available for the new service jobs, especially so like street vending, domestic work, or like informal retail. And these positions do lack, like I mentioned before, job security. They do lack benefits and a consistent income, unlike in other economies.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, issue, the shift to services has meant a growth in fine, but unfortunately,
Sean, let me call you back.
Okay,
thank you so much. Okay.
Lipura nenge no wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo IGL FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doye inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushe indife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko IGL FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko derewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane IGL FM VI.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Okay, and we are back, and like I said before, we are joined by Sean Jordan Winsep, and we are talking about the new report that has come out by the International Monetary Fund, which has cast a harsh spotlight on the structural weakness in Namibia's labor market. Now, Sean, there are some recommendations that the that IMF has made for Namibia, but before we do get to that, actually, let's talk about what are the risks of a dual economy emerging in Namibia, where the formal and the informal sectors remain deeply divided?
Yes. So with the recommendation, why, how, and the recommendation. So the first recommendation that was outlined was implementing a strong local content policy.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why would be because Namibia's oil, gas, and green hydrogen sectors risk benefiting only foreign countries, especially the youth, are prioritized. Now, the how is how to mandate that a percentage of all jobs, training, procurement, and ownership in these sectors go to Namibia and SMEs. And local content legislation with clear targets and reporting mechanisms. Another one was supporting and formalizing the informal sector. The why that they mentioned was the work with no access to microfinance, digital payment systems, mobile business registration, and social protection schemes like pension, healthcare, and so on and so forth. And the policy that they recommend is to launch a national informal processes for micro enterprises, because apparently one of the biggest drawbacks to small and medium businesses being registered is the more paperwork that goes with it.
Yeah.
More interesting was the promoting decentralized employment opportunities, because they hypothesized that rural and peri-urban meant to implement this is to invest in rural enterprise zones, improve infrastructure, and provide upstart incentives outside of Windhoek. And the policy that they actually thought up in the region's program, focusing on agriculture, ecotourism, local manufacturing, and green energy, which, again, in the report they also highlighted were sectors that were really development and informal economy shifts for Namibia.
Okay, Sean, thank you so much. We picked up few stuff, but there was still some breaking here and there. But trust that we can still have you on the show another time. Thank you so much, Sean, for making time for us.
Bye bye.
Okay. Now I do apologize for that, but then I'll just have to give you much more of what the report actually said. Now, the report also cautioned that Namibia's rising dependency on resource extraction could deepen inequality if not managed with deliberate labor-focused policies. Now, without strong governance and targeted interventions, the anticipated oil and gas windfall may benefit foreign companies more than Namibian workers, further entrenching the divide between the formal and the informal sectors. Now, just a couple of months ago, we did hear from NIPDB, that is Namibia's promotional. Now I can get the correct name right now, but NIPDB did speak about how most of the dividends that come through foreign direct investments don't really benefit a lot of major Namibians, but rather benefit foreigners. And this is something that we have to be cautious about in terms of the oil and gas investments that are coming our way now. How do they actually work around policies that could benefit Namibians and not just benefit those that are coming to invest? Of course, we do appreciate investments within our country, but then at the end of the day, it should be decentralized. It should actually come down and benefit everybody, benefit the local economy, and not just those that are coming to do the investments. Now, key recommendations from the International Monetary Fund include investing in vocational education and skills training, aligning with industry needs. And of course, Namibia has, the Ministry of Education has come up with an education charter, or just released it last year, which does actually include vocational training or vocational education and skills training as part of that, something that we do have to look at. And quite what did come out as the results were released, it showed that somewhere at the end of last year, it showed that vocational training or vocational education within NSSO has actually improved. Of course, the percentage is not so high, which shows that perhaps maybe the students or the learners are actually doing well in this area. And that's what maybe we need to look at. Because if at the end of the day, if we only focus on theory and not focus on practical work that the students or the learners themselves can benefit from, then we are shooting ourselves in the foot. And we, as we are seeing Namibia's economy in terms of agriculture, local produce from schools, from local farmers, or from those horticulture farmers, are actually doing well. They're actually picking up with some producing potatoes, with some producing carrots. And this is something that actually the youth can actually look into. Instead of just service sectors, of course, a lot of us youth people, the young people, do love to be in the service sector, so that we can deliver in terms of service. I guess it comes with certain sort of qualities or classes or whatsoever. But then again, sometimes we do also have to look at getting our hands dirty in terms of agriculture. It comes also with good finances. Imagine having to produce some carrots or some potatoes or rice, and that's booming your account, instead of just sitting in an office job where you wake up and do this and do that, but just you're not actually putting in the work. It's beneficial to not just the economy, not just the community, but to ourselves as well, as it helps create skills that are beneficial to the country. Now, one of the other recommendation is creating stronger links between high growth sectors and the domestic workforce through apprenticeships, procurement policies, and local contact requirements. And the ministry, not every ministry actually, cabinet has made a decision that every ministry should include entrepreneurship, which is also another way we can boost to help integrate or bring in the youth to be able also to support, to be supported as little as they can, instead of them graduating and actually sitting at home. As well as one of the other recommendations is expanding support for SMEs, small, medium enterprises, including access to credit, technology, and business services. I don't know really how Namibia is doing in this aspect. A lot of SME businesses were complaining, or do complain sometimes, that the heavy paperwork that has to go with that then sometimes discourages many of them, whether it has been made easier or they have perhaps received the training that they do need. That's another thing perhaps that we need to explore. Also, strengthening social protection systems for vulnerable groups, especially women, rural communities, and informal workers. Another pointer is improving labor market data, particularly in the informal economy. And that's another thing also that is not so good. You know, when we talk about the economy, I feel like sometimes, most often, the informal economy is not really included. And these are the people who are also playing a very good part when it comes to the local economy, in the things that they are doing, some of the stuff that they are producing, some of the things that they're manufacturing. As much as it's, as maybe insignificant it might look, it actually is significant and plays a part in the country's economy. And that's where inequality sometimes comes in, when it comes to balancing of numbers. Now, the report lands at a crucial moment in Namibia's development, where the choices made today around policy, investment, and workforce planning could determine whether the nation's resources are actually booming and become, as Namibia becomes a shared opportunity, or deepening divide. That's something quite interesting to look at. But one thing, one pointer that we can take away today is the fact that labor shift from agriculture to services has led to a structural transformation, and has not led to economic growth or job quality for Namibia. And that is one pointer that some of us have to look at to say, or maybe especially the farmers, perhaps they could actually help recruit other farmers, recruit young people into the economy, into the agricultural industry, in order for them also to help boost the economy. I mean, we are talking about self-sufficiency, food sufficiency for Namibia. Who is actually going to make Namibia food sufficient, if not us, the youth? Now, with that being said, let's pause right here, take a trip to the marketplace. When we do return, we will be telling you what's making headlines today in terms of economic indicators. Thereafter, you can expect some international news, news beyond the borders, coming your way.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Ipurane ngeno wapogwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite okoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushe ndife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu. Heali bali no heali ile konderewa. Mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM VI.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about...
Welcome back. Are you aware that the Villager e-paper is out today since it's Friday? It comes out tri-weekly, that is Monday, Wednesday and Friday. Now today's e-paper covers following headlines. Public institutions must procure locally. Farmers demand. Namibia youth trapped in low-paying jobs. IMF warns of worsening labor divide. Namibia breaks ground on a Shakati water treatment plant extension. Potential economic crisis for South Africa auto industry as U.S. tariffs loom. Drought hotspots, a concern for global drought resilience. Thriving rice projects in Oshikoto. Otjiwarongo Municipality hacked as Namibia hosts International Cybersecurity Conference. Kenya's unrest sends ripples across region. East Africa rethinks investment strategies. Now do catch your, or do grab your copy, which is delivered out directly on your mobile app. Now, all you have to do is send a text message to 081-200-4144 so you can subscribe and be able to receive your tri-weekly dose of social and economic news. Now, let's get right into what's making headlines in regards to economic indicators today. Now, we're starting off with the Namibian dollar compared to other currencies. Now, for today, one US dollar will get you 17 Namibian dollars and 84 cents, while 1 euro will get you 20 Namibian dollars and 75 cents. 1 pound sterling will get you 23 Namibian dollars and 98 cents, while 1 Japanese yen will get you 0.12 Namibian dollars. 1 Chinese yen will get you 2 Namibian dollars for today and 48 cents, while one Australian dollar will get you 11 Namibian dollars and 63 cents. 1 Swiss franc will get you 22 Namibian dollars and 24 cents. Now, 1 crude oil today is at 68.306, which is at 1.13%, while 1 Brent crude oil today, index is showing at 70.126, while natural gas is at 3.56, and gasoline at 2.18, and heating oil at 2.56. Gold is at 3,356.82, and silver is at 38.412. That is at 0.69%, while copper is standing in at 5.54 and soybeans at 1,034.05. Spain has recorded a trade deficit of 2.54 billion euros in May of 2025, widening slightly from the 2.35 billion euros in the corresponding period of the previous year, contrasting with the positive tilt in European trade balances due to the relatively lower trade exposure with the US, which have shocked trade flows worldwide on aggressive tariff threats. Now, imports expanded by 1.3% from the previous year to 37.54 billion euros amid high purchases of capital goods at 14.8%, automobiles and parts at 4.9%, and raw materials at 10.7%. Imports from the US, which only make 6% of the purchase compared to 7.4% in May 2024, sank by 18.3% as firms already pilot supply resources on trade war risks. Notably, imports from Canada surged by over 53%. In turn, exports rose by a softer 0.8% to 35 billion euros, and higher sales of capital goods at 24% and lower exports of energy at minus 32.7%. Exports to the US, which make up 4.4% of exports compared to 5.1% of last year, fell by 14.4%. Now, Italy's current account surplus widened to 1.67 billion euros in May 2025. That is up from 0.93 million euros in the same month last year. The primary income deficit narrowed to 4.05 billion euros from 5.25 billion euros. Meanwhile, the secondary income gap increased to 0.71 billion euros from 0.57 billion euros. Now, the goods surplus increased to 6.28 billion euros from 6.50 billion euros, while the service surplus shrank to 0.15 billion euro from 0.26 billion euros. On Crytop currencies, Bitcoin and Ether are on the rise. Ether is leading the charge with 4.18% gain. Meanwhile, in regards to agricultural commodities, the top commodity gainers are palm oil at 2.26% and canola at 1.52% and corn at 1.40%. The biggest loser in this category today is rice at minus 1.11%. In terms of metal commodities, the top commodity gainers are heating oil at 1.44%, natural gas, UK GBP, at 1.14%, natural gas, 0.80%, and crude oil, WTI, at 0.47%. Now, with that being said, let's pause right here. When we do return, we shall be bringing you what's making headlines in terms of news beyond the borders. Stay with us.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Ipura nengeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite okoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewetike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashia kengeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijabo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatimwe bali hea bi nola natu. Heari bali no heari ileko derewa dora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. You are tuned in to On The Radar Analysis right here on Eagle FM. As we start off with news beyond the borders, we're moving into South Africa where civic groups march demanding President Cyril Ramaphosa to immediately resign.
Warning motorists about potential traffic delays due to a march to the union buildings today by Defend South Africa and other civil movements. The Defend South Africa groups demanding President Cyril Ramaphosa's immediate resignation, while the MK party's march is in support of KwaZulu-Natal Police Commissioner Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi. Police have urged motorists to use alternative routes, which include Fisahi, Nanasita, Stanza Bopape, Pretorius and Eskaya Mpahlele. We're crossing live now to our reporter Patricia Fisahi, and now she's following the Defend South Africa group. Good afternoon, Patricia. Can you tell us more about what they are protesting this afternoon?
Well, good afternoon. Of course, we are here in Madiba Street. You can see there the protesters are coming down this march that started at the old Patco depot, the bus depot in Marabastad, and they have mobilized. It seems like the crowd has significantly increased from what we saw this morning. Of course, they've got a string of points that they have highlighted that they feel is enough motivation for the president to step down as they make their way to the union buildings. Now joined by the United Civic Movement spokesperson, and that is Mr. Mthunzi Luthuli. You can tell us perhaps better, in short, highlighting the reasons that have brought this gathering and why you have united going to the union buildings to call for the president to step down.
The reason we're having this march is basically to force the president, to force Cyril Ramaphosa to resign as president of the country and head of state. And the reason we are calling for his resignation is that Cyril Ramaphosa has been engaged in criminal activities. We had the Palapala scandal. He has been shielded from facing the law. If you and I were found with $580,000 in our house, we would be imprisoned by now. Secondly, President Ramaphosa bought his presidency. We know that in NASREC, he used money which was collected in London and Europe and from white businesses in South Africa to buy his presidency of the ANC, and therefore by extension to buy the presidency of this country. We cannot allow a situation where a president of this country uses money to get into office. Number three, the economy of this country is in tatters. We are stagnating. He has failed to restructure the economy despite what he promised when he wanted to be elected as president. And so those are just some of the reasons. And we feel that, let me not forget, the revelations by General Mkhwanazi, they added just an impetus into what we already knew. You see, the president knows and he knew everything that General Mkhwanazi said, because he gets intelligence briefings in his office on a regular basis. So there is no way that the president did not know about the criminality within the SAPS and which involves politicians as well. He obviously knew about it. And then the issue is, if he knew about it, why didn't he do anything about it?
Just on the accusation that the president bought his way into the union buildings, that's a very serious accusation. And we really have to probe that. On what are you basing this? Is there tangible proof that can substantiate this claim?
Yes, there is. Number one, we all know that he did get monies from overseas for the CR17 funds. But in fact, overseas and locally.
Are you saying the president sold out the country?
Yes, he did. The president has sold out the country. And it's not just the president. The ANC as an organization, the ANC as an organization has sold out South Africa, and they've sold out against black South Africans. It's a fact.
Quite a bold move by South Africans, they demanding that President Cyril Ramaphosa immediately resign. And of course, I do understand their frustrations, but I don't know. Comparing Namibia to South Africa, we see it's quite very harsh to say that the president should resign. But well, those are their sentiments. Now we move over to Uganda, where Ugandan doctors say new malaria medication for babies will save millions of lives. Let's take a listen.
These babies are all underweight and face a higher risk of getting diseases because their tiny bodies are not fully developed. Some could be born with malaria, and getting proper treatment for them has been difficult, posing serious risks to their health. Now researchers have come up with a safer and more accurate baby malaria treatment regimen with a pleasant test that's easy to administer.
This is very specific for babies below the weight of 4.5 kg. And this is really a game changer for us because we can
treat in accordance with
confidence. We can ensure that our babies are getting the right doses. This Coartem baby is also quite revolutionary because it can be taken with breast milk. It has a flavored taste to it, so it can be mixed with water and given to the babies.
In Uganda, malaria remains the leading cause of death among children aged below 5. It's an age bracket that was still being treated with inaccurate dosages meant for fairly grown-up children. Doctors say the limited treatment options for babies were causing severe complications like drug resistance and even death.
When a newborn baby is born and they are born with congenital malaria, for example, that's not usually the first diagnosis you make. When a baby develops a fever or has seizures, you're more likely to think it's a bacterial infection. But if you confirm that it is malaria, then you have to treat it properly. And yes, should a child get malaria, they should be treated and you prevent death.
The new baby malaria treatment medication comes at a time when 95% of malaria-related deaths are occurring in Africa. Experts say it could go a long way in saving millions of lives.
The impact is huge because definitely we can treat more babies. We can see more babies being able to survive malaria, and hopefully that will also lead to less death. But to do this, obviously, we need to ensure that we're training the healthcare workers. We need to ensure the availability and the accessibility of Coartem baby.
With vaccines to prevent malaria in children now available and the baby anti-malaria drug set to be rolled out, campaigners say the world could be on track to end malaria in children. To lower the risk of catching malaria even further, countries like Uganda have stepped up the fight with preventive measures like asking people to sleep under mosquito nets, spraying neighborhoods with insecticide, and clearing bushes to control the breeding of mosquitoes. Isabel Nakiria, CGTN Kampala, Uganda.
Cocoa is under pressure whilst African economy is on the rise.
Turkish
Republic's cocoa as the continent eyes a 4% economic rise in 2025. We have a closer look at the region's momentum. Central African Republic's coffee sector is under threat amid neglect and cross-border smuggling, but local growers still hold on to hope despite insecurity and weak state support. Cocoa drives the economies of many West African nations, supplying nearly 70% of global demand, yet local farmers still struggle with financing, fair pay and ethical labor practices. We explore how new agribusiness models aim to transform the cocoa value chain and improve lives on the ground.
West Africa accounts for around 70% of the world's cocoa supply, a market valued at over $60 billion globally. Many of Africa's dedicated farmers, however, face immense challenges, key among them being the lack of access to the fundamental tools for growth, vital financing for seedlings, fertilizers, and even the labor to cultivate their land effectively. In some West African cocoa-producing nations, fewer than 40% of farmers have access to formal credit, a critical barrier to increasing production. Farmers and companies dealing with them also have to be mindful of sustainability issues like deforestation and child labor. Stakeholders in this lucrative industry therefore have to solve the puzzle of how Africa's cocoa can thrive ethically and sustainably while meeting both local needs and stringent international demands. As the world demands more ethical chocolate, the burden to meet these standards often falls unfairly on the shoulders of the poorest actors in the value chain. Many farmers lack the training or resources to adapt to new expectations. Yet, without compliance, their produce risks being excluded from lucrative European and American markets, further compounding their vulnerability. New African agribusinesses like Sunbeth Global Concepts are rewriting the narrative. They're not just exporting commodities, they're investing directly in the source. Through ethical sourcing, they ensure farms are free from deforestation and that children are in schools, not fields. Beyond business, Sunbeth has drilled dozens of boreholes, renovated clinics and schools, and even paid for school leaving certificate exams for farmers' children. Tangible impacts felt directly in the communities.
Join us now is Olasukomi Owoyemi from SGC Sunbed Global Concept. Welcome to the show. What are the biggest economic challenges cocoa producers face in Nigeria today?
The biggest issue beyond Nigeria and everywhere is financing. It's very important that not just the traders have access to financing. Once anybody owns a land, they should have access to the financing to buy the seedlings to plant. That's what increases production. But people don't have access to farm. That's the biggest part of the issue. So people need to have access to financing beyond the traders and the buying houses. The farmers must, for everyone that owns a farmland, they must have access to financing to get seedlings, to employ laborers, to get fertilizers, to grow.
On sustainability, how is SGC tackling child labor and empowering women in the sector?
We continue to map out the farms where we source from, where our local buying agents source from. We provide them support and we give them the basic constitution of our sourcing, which involves them knowing that they cannot have child that should be in school on the farmland. So for us, we practice ethical sourcing, and this is not just by words of the mouth. It's done by the constitution we have for our sourcing, the steps for our sourcing, the guidelines for our sourcing. So
on an interesting report, flight captain switch off fuel flow to engines in Air India crash report.
Black box recording indicates that the flight's captain switched off fuel flow to both engines of the recently crashed Air India airplane, according to media reports on Wednesday, citing preliminary U.S. assessment of evidence. One captain was heard asking the other why he moved the switches to the cutoff position after it climbed off the runway. Relevant Indian authorities haven't responded to the report. Both engines of the recently crashed Air India airplanes had shut down mid-air within seconds of takeoff, showed a preliminary investigation report released on July 12 by the Indian Aircraft Accident Investigation Bureau. According to Indian media, the report say that before the plane crashed, the switches controlling the fuel flow of the two engines switched off from run to cut off within a second of each other, which caused the aircraft engines to stop working. The London-bound Air Indian aircraft crashed on June 12 shortly after takeoff, killing all but one of the 242 people on board and 19 others on the ground.
Meanwhile, President Donald Trump has ordered official release of Epstein court documents after mounting pressure.
President Trump has ordered his attorney general to produce more court documents on his former friend Jeffrey Epstein, as some of his supporters demand more transparency over files relating to the convicted sex offender. Writing on his Truth Social platform, Mr. Trump says, based on the ridiculous amount of publicity given to Jeffrey Epstein, I have asked Pam Bondi to produce any and all pertinent grand jury testimony subject to court approval. He goes on to say this scam, perpetuated by the Democrats, should end right now. Shortly after Mr. Trump's statement, Ms. Bondi said that the Justice Department was ready to ask the court today to unseal the grand jury transcripts. Mr. Trump has faced a rare backlash from his supporters over Epstein, who died by suicide in prison in 2019 while awaiting trial on sex trafficking charges. His death sparked continued rumours and conspiracies amongst MAGA supporters and, most recently, about possible clients named in government files. Some have accused his administration of a cover-up. Mr. Trump also says he will sue the Wall Street Journal after it reported on a letter bearing his name written to Epstein in 2003. Well, our North America correspondent Arunade Mukherjee has been analysing the unfolding controversy.
Well, it's been an evening of fairly fast-paced developments on Thursday here in the U.S., and it all began with that article published by the Wall Street Journal, which talked about the relationship between Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein by referring to a letter dated 2003, written to Jeffrey Epstein on his 50th birthday. And according to the article, it bore Donald Trump's signature. Soon after that, we saw Donald Trump respond, calling the letter fake and calling the article malicious and defamatory. He went ahead and said that he will be suing the Wall Street Journal. What's also important is soon after that, in another post on his social media platform Truth Social, Donald Trump said that he will be asking his Attorney General, Pam Bondi, to go ahead and produce all and any pertinent grand jury testimony related to the Jeffrey Epstein case. He said that this was a scam perpetuated by the Democrats and it has to end now. Soon.
And with that being said, we have now come to the conclusion after this episode of On the Reader Analysis. To stay tuned for the Onkonana Dengi program brought to you by Luis Shimi. From Indafa, happy Juju, it is goodbye and have yourself a productive weekend. Also, don't forget to tune in to Life Lessons right here on Eagle FM on Saturday from 1900 hours up until 2100 hours, as we are going to bring you an insightful topic on life lessons in regards to tips to a good and fruitful and lasting marriage. Goodbye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Ipuranenge lo wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete okoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewetike kovano ile koshiwala onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kondado ya inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko derewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu atatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Give a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM.
Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.